That's a sweet song, isn't it? That's a sweet song. The days, the moments fleeting till I reach the promised land. Verse 2 said, every day the Lord himself is near me. As we just sang that, I thought, whether I know it or not, whether I feel it or not, every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power. That's wonderful. That's just wonderful. Go with me back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, and look with me at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Doesn't that sound fantastic? Doesn't that just sound fantastic? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Sometimes you just cannot understand. How can a child of God who's going through so much tribulation, our Lord said, in the world you shall have tribulation. How can a child of God have peace? Peace. Others don't understand it. Tragedy happens. I know a woman who lost her daughter, and she was sorrowful, but at peace with it. And somebody asked her, how can you be so calm in this and at peace? Passes all understanding, can't make any sense of it. Others can't make sense of it. We can't make sense of it. The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What is the peace of God? What is the peace of God? It's peace with God. That's what it is. Peace with God. And peace with God brings peace in God. Peace in the Spirit. Peace with his people. How was peace with God made? And I'm going to tell you, this is a defining key in this message. This is not just a question we already know the answer to, even though we already know the answer to it. How was peace with God made? The answer is, there was a way, right? A particular way. A very particular way. Something had to be done. Something had to be done. And our God recorded for us in his word what it was, didn't he? Look with me at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Verse 11 says, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. He is our peace. Peace. Philippians said, and the peace of God. He is our peace. Verse 14 goes on to say, who hath made both one. He and I, both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Enmity means we're enemies. He abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And then he came and he preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. That's how peace with God was made. That's how peace with God was made. We who were outcast, enemies of God, we were brought near to him again by the blood of Christ. He joined himself to us, union with him. Two became one. And then he reconciled both unto God in that one body on the cross. And in doing that, he slew that enmity. He slew the enmity between us, so making peace. Now, that's how peace with God was made, okay? Here's the question for tonight, question for the message. How is peace in God made? That's how peace with God was made. How is peace in God made? Peace in the Spirit. Peace with his people. How does a child of God truly come to enjoy inner and outer peace and contentment? There is a way. There is a particular way. Something must be done. And our Lord has recorded in his word what it is. Okay, just like peace had to be made with God in a particular way, peace in God is made in a particular way. Go with me back to our text now, Philippians 4. Now, in the first six verses here, two Wednesday nights ago, we looked at the first three verses, and then last Wednesday night, we looked at verse 4. But in the first six, our Lord has given us an instruction in each verse. There's one of them in each verse for us to follow. And then he says in verse 7, you do these things, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Because of that peace with God, he said, you follow these instructions and you'll find peace in God. Peace in the heart, peace in the mind. So we're going to review the first four and then look at the other two. The first one is in verse 1. He said, and here's the instruction, stand fast in the Lord. Verse 1 says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. What does it mean to stand fast in the Lord? What does it mean? I found some scriptures in here that tell us that. I want to turn to one of them, and then I'll tell you the other ones. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 16. Back just a few pages to 1 Corinthians 16. What does it mean to stand fast in the Lord? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. Faith looks to Christ, doesn't it? That's what faith does. Faith looks to Christ. He said, watch ye, look to Christ. Where am I supposed to look? He said, watch. Where? Look to Christ. In all things, look to Christ. In all things. thing after thing after thing comes. With each one, the first thing we do is forget to look to Christ. With each one. We look to Christ on that one, the next thing comes, and now we forgot about that. In all things, keep a single eye on Christ, first and foremost. Now don't turn, but Galatians 5 says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. That's the gospel. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's the gospel. To stand fast in the Lord is to remain in, remain under the gospel. How do we have peace? How do we have contentment? Remain under the gospel. Stand. Don't just believe it. Stand in it. Stand fast in it. Philippians 1 says, stand fast in one spirit. The Spirit of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2 says, stand fast in the Word. Stand fast in Him. Stand fast in Him. Look to Him. Assemble with His saints. He said, there's a place where I've chosen to put my name there. He said, when two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of you. His Spirit is in the midst of us. Stand fast in the place where He said He would send His Spirit and feed on His Word. Feed on His Word. Soak up His Word, every bit of it, as often as you can. Be in His Word. Stand fast. That's the first thing. If we want peace and contentment, then let's stand fast in the Lord. All right, now back in Philippians 4, verse 2, the second one he said is be of the same mind. Verse 2 said, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Strive for the same mind. Strive for the same mind. Let's cut out everything that could cause a division. That's something to actively do. That's something to do. Absolutely cut out. Let's completely do away with anything that could bring a separation to our hearts and our minds. Whatever that may be. There is only one thing worth dividing over. One thing. And that thing is, what is it that justifies a sinner before God? If somebody wants to say that the blood of Christ was not enough and we have to add our works to it, we cannot agree. We cannot walk together. We need to separate. We need to go our separate ways. But if we have the same mind in that, then with everything else that comes along, let's ask ourselves, compared to Christ crucified, how important is this? Compared to Christ crucified, how important is it? Does it really matter? The answer is always no. Always no. Compared to Christ, how important is it? The third one is in verse 3. He said, help each other. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Help each other. If we would like to have inner and outer peace and contentment, then let's think about each other. As often as we can, let's think about each other. Let's have a desire for each other. Let's help each other. As often as we can. I believe one of the greatest helps we can give to each other is communication. I believe it is, communication. It's amazing what picking up the phone and calling somebody just to say, I was thinking about you, I wanted you to know, I love you. And I just wanted to tell you that. It's amazing what that can do for that person's peace and contentment in mind. That communication. In that communication, we're reminded of the fact that God has given us one mind. When you talk to a believer, usually the conversation at some point will go to Christ. And when the conversation goes to Christ, both parties know we're on the same page. That's my brother. That's my sister. We both have a desire to stand fast in the Lord. It's an encouragement. It's a help. Brethren usually say to each other, I'm here for you. If you need anything, you call me. We help each other. So let's reach out. That's something to do. That's something to do. I quoted, I believe, Sunday night, if we want to have a friend, we need to be a friend. That's something to do. Reach out physically, emotionally, prayerfully. Let's pray for each other. Brethren, pray for me. I would like for you, every time I run through your mind, pray for me. Every time you run through my mind, I want to pray for you. Before we attempt to worship God Almighty, pray for me. I'm so thankful we just met back there and the men, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for us. Pray for each other. There's really no greater help we could give each other than prayer to God. Back over in Philippians 4. Look at actually chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. If we would truly do that, we would start to experience some true peace and contentment. That is what Jesus Christ did for us, isn't it? He looked not on his own things. He looked on the things of others. And in that he made peace. And if we would do the same thing, we would make peace. So let's help each other. All right, Philippians 4, the fourth instruction he gave was in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. The key word in that verse is always. 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 You know, without the Spirit of the Lord, that's impossible. I know it's impossible, but if we beg him, Lord, would you help us? Help us now in these tribulations, Lord. Send your Spirit to us. Bless our hearts. Help us always to rejoice. What he's saying is, let's absolutely stifle, absolutely squash, kill all murmuring and complaining. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just kill all murmuring, complaining. Like that man who said, Josh Gravett, he said, the Lord is sovereign. We'll be grateful. Kill all murmuring and complaining. Look again back at chapter 2, verse 14 this time. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Surely he does not actually mean that. He does. He does. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Our Lord, he endured the greatest suffering that the world could ever know. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. May he give that to us. May he give us that heart, that spirit. If we would truly love to enjoy peace and contentment, then the Apostle Paul says, the way, the particular way, is to rejoice in the Lord always. Whatever comes along, may the Lord cause this heart to rejoice in him. Rejoice in what He's done for us. Stand fast in Him. Strive for the same mind. Help each other, love each other, support each other, and rejoice in what Christ has done for us. Now back in Philippians 4, the next instruction He gives to us is in verse 5. He said, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." The word moderation means appropriate. That's what the word means, appropriate. It means mild, gentle, patient. When it comes to believers, when it comes to our conduct, our dealings with others, each other or anybody, the apostle said we need to be appropriate. Appropriate. That's the command to the Lord's people. What is appropriate? All right, what is it? You know, different people can interpret it different ways. What is appropriate? Mild, gentle, and patient. That's what it means. Appropriate, mild, gentle, and patient. The way to true peace and true contentment is not by being harsh. It's by being mild. This applies anywhere. This applies everywhere. You know, how we deal with people, you know, something doesn't go our way and I'm going to get mean and we're going to power through this thing. It never works. It never works. And it sure does not work with the Lord's people. And it does not bring that inner peace. It does not bring that trust in the Lord. True peace and contentment. He said, don't be brutal with each other. Be gentle. Be gentle. Don't be short-fused. Be patient. Be long-suffering. As Christ has been to us, everything He has been to us, He's dealt with us so mildly. He's been so gentle with us. He has been so patient with us. He's been so long-suffering. This world, this flesh right here, everything about man by nature is inappropriate. All you have to do is turn on the TV, look in the news. It's inappropriate. His way, the way of man, his attitude, everything about him is inappropriate. Man is not naturally moderate. None of us. None of us are naturally moderate. Man is loud and proud. That's what man is. Paul said, we just shouldn't be that way. We just shouldn't be that way. He said, let your moderation be known. I love that. If you break that down, look at verse 5 with me. He said, let. That means do. Your. If nobody else is doing it, let your. Appropriateness, mildness, gentleness, patience. Let your moderation be known. Let it be known. Don't just possess moderation. Promote it. Promote it to all men, he said. To all men. The Lord is at hand. May every person we come in contact with know us to be mild and gentle and patient. May the heart and spirit and way of Christ be in us. If you look, if your Bible has a reference there, there's a reference to Titus 3. Turn with me over there to Titus chapter 3. Titus 3. Verse 2 says, speak evil of no man. No man, no matter who it is. No man. Don't be a brawler, but be gentle. Showing all meekness unto all men. Showing it. Showing it. Striving to show it. Striving to promote it. Showing all meekness. Our Lord, we quote it Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, showing all meekness unto all men. May he enable us to do that. Back over in Philippians 4, the last word of instruction he gives is in verse 6. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Don't be anxious. Be careful, full of care for nothing. Don't be anxious over anything. That's impossible to do. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Be anxious over nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. As we pray, may our prayer be seasoned with thanksgiving. We naturally ask for more than we give thanks for. Lord, this is what I'd love to have, and if it be thy will, I'd love for you to do this, and we want, and may it be completely seasoned with thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for ordering all things. Thank you for doing all things well. Lord, these are our petitions. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. These are the things we request. But we do it with thanksgiving. If we desire peace, if we truly desire peace, we will never find it as long as we are taking our burdens and our cares everywhere but our Lord. We'll never find it. We take our burdens and our cares to this one, that one, here, there. We will never find peace until we take our burden to the Lord and leave it there. Absolutely leave it there. Let your request be made known unto God. That's what he said. Let them be made known unto God. If we could ever trust our Lord that he will do what's right, we could do that. We could take our burden to the Lord. Somehow we feel like that's not enough. That's not good enough. But if we could take it to the Lord and leave it there and trust him, stand fast in faith, stand fast in him and trust him, then we would find peace. This world cannot help us. The world cannot help us. We can't help each other. We really can't. We share our burdens, and we want to bear each other's burdens. But what we're doing in that is we're saying, I will be praying about this with you. We'll both bring it to the Lord. We'll both call on him. And he said, that's the answer. That's the way to peace. Take it to the Lord and leave it there. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Be of the same mind. Help each other. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your moderation be known. And don't be anxious for anything. Take everything to the Lord your God and then leave it there. And he said in verse 7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace will come to the heart and the mind of a child of God that says, Christ has already taken care of everything, every single thing. Our peace is interrupted whenever we lose sight of the fact that our Lord is sovereignly in control. He is in complete control. Whatever it is, he's in complete control. control. And that peace will come back that he's taken care of everything. He has reconciled me to God. He has satisfied all of my debt. He has ordered all of my steps. Every single one of them. He has predetermined every one of them for good. Every single one of them. In him I am complete. Finished. And everything that pertains to this life and the life to come is ordered and sure. It is all ordered and sure. And this is the only thing he commands of me. Rest in Christ. Just rest in Christ. That right there is peace. That's peace. Isaiah wrote, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." If the Lord would let us do that, we would find perfect peace and contentment. Right there. Right there. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." My heart's desire, this is my heart's desire, it's that the Lord would bring peace to our hearts, peace to our minds, he said, through Christ Jesus our Lord. By looking to him, by remembering who he is, what he's done, where he is now. I'm in control of nothing. He's in control of everything. Wait on the Lord. It's going to be fine. Look to Christ. Trust him. And he'll bring peace. All right, let's stand together.